Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe, together with Guinness. First off, I am sweating. I had to run here from the train.
It's fine.
I've got sweat patches just in case it happens during the show. And
who out there, what listeners or viewers do not sweat?
Yeah.
Get off your high horses.
Good point.
We all sweat, especially in show business.
You're looking too all calm and collected. What a weekend of rugby.
Wow.
Oh my God. I always get asked, Do you miss it? And I'm always, I have this, just roll it out. No, I don't. Now I'm over it. And geez, I'm already at the point where I don't know how they do it. They're so big.
You just roll out
so
your template.
Yeah, I sound like an old woman. I'm like, no, or man. But I must say that that's hard to watch when you can't be involved in that. And for you, someone so fresh out of the game, did you miss playing on Saturday?
I still don't miss playing.
Horseshit. I call it.
No,
horseshit.
I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm led to believe, a lot of people I've chatted to recently say that for the first year when you retire, you're kind of naive to it, or you're in like a honeymoon period.
Mm.
And I think I'm still experiencing that. That's why I didn't get the kind of jealousy.
Okay.
But I was living every second out there because it was such a good game. Ulster just need to hold their heads up high.
Well, that's the cliches. Go on. Small margins.
I was fully in it with them. I was loving their performance.
Mm.
And it was one of those days where, unfortunately, the best side lost.
Yeah.
Is that a bit controversial?
No. I think on the day...
Is that a bit biased, even?
If you go through the players on the field, I think I went through like 1-15. Ulster probably outplayed them. But as Jack Conlon said at the end of the game, that's what it's about, being a championship-winning side, being able to not have individually your best games, but still able to grind out a win and take an Ulster team's best performance in years and still be able to win. So hats off to Leinster.
Leinster, the way they finished the game was just their winners.
Yeah.
And they just get it over the line.
Yeah, 7 minutes ball and play and just holding on to it, frustrating them. And it was, look, so much to talk about with that one. Munster also ground out a win over in Edinburgh. I did even miss playing like games like that, because I find like as you get older as well and as you're more out of the game, you get more cranky. And I think the age frustration Venn diagram, I think that comes into play. You become this, you know, the way old, like my dad is a lunatic watching matches.
Yeah.
Like, as he gets older, he gets further and further away from when he played, so he turns into a maniac and just starts screaming at everyone.
He becomes less understanding.
Yes.
As to what it's actually like out there.
Yeah, and he's trying to blame the ref or the players, and then I'm slowly catching up with him with this stuff. Like, the two of us watched on the couch.
Yeah, and you're like, you know what, Dad, you're right. You've been right for years.
About what? I don't know.
I don't know why I've been defending these guys for so long.
Yeah. So, look, there's loads to talk about in that game. Also, Connacht, tough game on Friday night, and also two other brilliant games in the championship. But let's start with the Ulster one. So you weren't at it; you were at home.
I got home. I was away last week.
Mm-hmm. Good week.
A brilliant week.
San Francisco.
Yeah, I was over with an accelerator with the business that we've started there, and we met some founders, successful entrepreneurs, VCs. And it's just another world over there.
Yeah.
I got my eyes opened. It was an amazing experience.
Really?
Really was.
Yeah, well, that's the hub of it over there, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I watched The Matrix on the flight on the way home.
Yeah.
And I noticed...
Strange choice.
Yeah. I'd dried up. I must have been my seventh movie.
Okay.
So seventh down the list, I think.
Yeah, there's all new ones.
And you're getting to Matrix.
Yeah.
Territory.
Right. It's either Winnie the Pooh or Matrix.
Yeah. Either way, you and Tommy and Adam Jones and all are giving me a hard time for not saying bad words.
Yes.
The Matrix is like a Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby.
Is it?
So your man, is it Cyrus? He's the guy who turns on them, the guy with the moustache. You look a little bit like Cyrus, actually.
Thank you. Is he cool? I'm going to totally crap all over this point now in a second, but go on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Poo. You're going to poo on it. He's killing everyone, right?
Yeah.
He comes out of the Matrix, turns on them. totally Judases them. He's killing them all.
Yeah.
And the girl on the phone to him goes, "Gosh darn you, Cyrus." I was like, that's what I would say.
Yeah, but you know that that's, they're edited for flights.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not what they say in the film.
Oh, really?
She would have said, flip off.
Get sugared.
Yeah, really? They edit them for the flight,
because they said,
man,
jeepers,
yeah,
at one stage,
yeah,
as well.
Did they?
Yeah, and I was like, I say jeepers.
I said jeepers a minute ago, man. You're rubbing off me.
I didn't know that. Is that true?
Yeah, they edit them for the flight.
I feel silly not knowing that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
such a frequent flyer, you know.
You're a tourist, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they do. I've watched.
You have crapped all over my point.
Mm, I told you I would.
You've pooed
all over, yeah, my point. Sorry about that now.
You've number two on my point.
Is The Matrix any good? Does it stand up to time?
Yeah, it's one of my favourites. No, one of my favourites. It's like maybe top 20.
Yeah. It's a perfect film for Keanu Reeves because he's so boring.
Yeah.
You just slot him in.
Yeah.
He's something robotic.
That and John Wick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Ulster.
Ulster and Leinster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the semi-finals.
Well, look, it was an unbelievable start to the game. Rory Best, turnover after a couple of minutes, and then, which I thought was a huge, intentional start from them, just going balls out, and then big block down from Ringrose clearance and a Treadwell's try. That must have been, you know, for you as an Ulster fan, must have been like, Jesus, this is realistic now.
Yeah. Yeah, although at that stage I was, that was early enough to still be in hopeful territory rather than kind of expectation territory. Yeah. Later on in the game, I was so excited, I was buzzing,
yeah,
screaming at the TV, thinking, yeah, we're actually gonna win this. This is gonna be massive.
Yeah.
And then Leinster did what they do.
Yeah, but they got so much right. Like, the tactics from the start for them, like we said it over the last few weeks, we've always said it, we've kind of been like, they keep the ball and they need to keep, and to beat Leinster, you need to keep the ball away from them, right, and frustrate them.
Yeah.
Dwayne Peel said something when he came on the match commentary. He said, we just got to play what's in front of us, which I thought was brilliant as well, because they seem to get that right, the balance of, they'd exhaust all their options, phase play, you know, they'd show with a carry or they'd show with a hard line off Burns, out the back off Burns, Cooney would have a dart, but then when they'd exhausted it, they'd put up a really good box kick, or
yeah,
Burns would kick really well, contestable. And
there's a nice little tussle with Adam Byrne and Jacob.
Wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought both of them played brilliantly.
Yeah, they did, yeah, actually, yeah.
Like,
both of them were so accurate in the air,
yeah,
just colliding with, yeah, the ball.
Yeah, it kind of looked like they'd targeted Adam Byrne, but like, he's one of the best under the eye ball.
I didn't realise he was so good. I've seen him a few times, but I didn't realise he was that good.
Mm.
I mean, Jacobs, well, I'm sure he's taller than him, and he's very athletic, gets in the air, very good aerial skills, and yeah, they kind of went...
tip for tat.
Yeah.
It must have been like three occasions where the two of them had the ball at the same time, and just wrestling over it. Like.
Yeah.
And as you said, like, they both went up perfectly. There was no one taking anyone out in the air,
yeah,
getting their timing off.
Rugby was the real winner.
It was.
High ball receptions were the real winner.
And even Mike Lowry was getting involved as well.
Oh,
how class is he?
He is brilliant.
Yeah.
He was class.
Yeah.
And he looked, and I'm not sure. He's played two. Did he play against the Kings last weekend? Anyway, back from a bit of a break after the concussion, because he throws his weight around.
Mm.
That wee fella, he's tough, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
And he looked like he was just picked up.
But he's reading the game as well. Do you remember that one when Furlong put in got the turnover and booted the ball with a left foot the length of the,
yeah,
field?
Yeah.
Like, he kicked out pretty far.
Yeah.
And by the time the ball had been turned over, Lowry had gotten back the distance and caught the ball on the full. It didn't,
yeah,
even bounce. Like, he just read it and was like,
yeah,
that was in probably 60-odd minute. Like.
He's out of position, you know, still.
He's a
10. No, granted, he's played enough 15 now. I don't know, maybe six games at 15,
yeah,
to have a bit of experience there and get going. But he hadn't played 15 up, yeah, until like not that long ago.
Yeah.
And he just looks so natural.
Oh.
Just a talented fella, isn't he?
The skill level across the board, like the passing, the kicking, the decision-making, I thought, from
this is bringing out,
sides,
see, how good the rugby was at the weekend.
Yeah.
This is making us... We're going to lose a lot of viewers and listeners.
No, yeah, I was thinking of that.
They're going to be like, these two actually like rugby.
I've coaxed you into it by talking about Ulster.
Yeah. I'm falling for it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, You have to be impressed as well with how Leinster managed that, with the variety of play they were throwing at them.
Yeah.
And like I think Draco pointed out in the commentary a few times where they were getting, they were out of position in the backfield, or the wingers weren't covering the backfield, but they were kind of mixing it up. You know what I mean? They were making decisions. The back three for Leinster were kind of saying, okay, we have to close up hard here, or present that there's a full wall, and then sometimes they'd cover the backfield a lot, and just kept both teams kept each other guessing. Yeah. It was kind of shadow boxing for a lot of it, and you know, the tries that that both teams are scoring just came from relentless effort. And you know, Byrne showed how good Leinster were when he got over for that try, keeping the ball. And I know you were impressed with McCluskey and Cave as well.
I thought they were very good.
Yeah, how they handled Leinster's attack.
Yeah, I thought. I know we're talking about that one play in particular that O'Driscoll drew attention to in commentary, where I think it's a little bit of a Welsh play, where 10 hits 12 on an early switch, and then 12 then plays off that.
I think they used to be called Wales or something like that as a move.
I would tell you what they call it at Ulster, but they tend to remain the calls for years to come, so they probably still call it the same thing. Yeah. But we used to do that back in the day with Paddy Wallace coming underneath, then he would play make from there. But I just thought Cave and McCluskey just read it so well. Mm. And then I think someone in commentary, I can't remember who it was, whoever was commentating with O'Driscoll, said if they'd whipped it across the front to Byrne, then he might have been in space. But you can see Cavey spotted that.
Yeah.
And just, he has him, it's an option there, and he would have taken him if the ball had gone to him. But he just watched the flight of the ball, watched the body language, and then hit it on Dave Carney. I don't think it got turned over, but, you know, it was just as nice as we play. I hadn't seen that in years.
Yeah, as Draco said. Well, it's like that left-hand scrum is the hardest place for a backline, especially a 13, to defend, because you're down your scrum half. So the scrum half is defending on the blind side, basically. So the ball goes in, and you could see Cooney was trying to get around, but it went so quickly. McGrath moved the ball so fast that, and Leinster were really at the line, attacked the line hard.
Yeah.
That then you're in Cave's position, and yeah, you've got two players running a full belt, one on an overs, one on a short line, and you've got to make a decision.
Yeah.
And he kept his left hand out to kind of show that he was kind of almost blocking the pass for Carney to make, and then the last second bounced in on him.
Because I would imagine, I don't know, I would imagine the likes of McCluskey, Cave, who don't get a look in with Ireland really, but they're consistent performers. Obviously, Cavey would be in and out a little bit, but they tend to be consistent performers for Ulster. Luke Marshall comes off the bench, played brilliantly.
Yeah.
Hasn't played in, I don't know, 10 months. With an ACL, comes back in, looks like it was just nothing to him.
Yeah.
He was brilliant as well.
Yeah, I was kind of, even from the Connacht game the other night, I was questioning a few players that hadn't played in a long time. I go, you can't just throw a player in there if he hasn't played in 6 months. That was my go-to comment for the weekend. And then Luke Marshall comes off the bench after 10 months. And like, he threw that little offload, backdoor offload, and caught a couple of balls that
he whipped one straight across the front as well, right to left.
Yeah, that was his first play. Yeah. To Stockdale, and I mean, it's great to have that.
I'm the same though. I would be the same if I was a coach and I was picking. I would go on, give him another week here.
Mm. I mean, it's obviously proved in training.
But you know yourself, in training, I just didn't. I don't know. I would have been nervous if that was me and I hadn't played in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I get nervous. I used to get nervous the first game of the season because I hadn't played in 2 months.
Yeah.
I was going, I'm going to forget how to play rugby. Yeah. Fair play to him.
Yeah, that's that would be brilliant. A lot. No, I think, as you said, McCluskey and Cave, as Will Addison pointed out to us last week, how difficult it is to defend at 13.
Yeah.
And
Will, I remember Will.
Oh, Will. It went so well.
If you're watching, hi, Will.
I wore the same clothes as today. It's my new outfit now. But I think, you know, hats off to Jarrod Payne again for the effort that he obviously is, and the difference he's made with the Ulster defence. Because we have been a little bit critical of the amount of tries they've leaked at times, but I thought McCluskey and Cave were, you know, just huge at the weekend.
We haven't talked about any forwards. Marcel Coetzee and Ian Henderson were enormous for Ulster.
Treadwell, I thought, was brilliant.
Yeah, Kieran was good.
Herring, when he came on, what an effort for him.
Yeah.
You know, losing Rory Best, obviously, was a big blow, but then for him to come on and have that impact.
Yeah.
Massive.
Because Rhys Ruddock is a man who doesn't generally go backwards.
Yeah.
He's a talisman for Leinster, and both Hendy smashed him at one stage and Coetzee smashed him at one stage. When do you ever see that happening?
Yeah.
It was almost like the physicality was a little bit like kind of in moments what England did to Ireland.
Yeah.
Like all we've done is talk about Ulster, sorry.
Well, we have to continue and talk about the elephant in the room, and that is...
That they lost.
Jacob Stockdale.
Oh, sorry.
You suppressed that memory already.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your take on that moment?
I thought after all Jacob's done for Ulster and Irish rugby over the last year and a half, and the fact that he got the ball, I thought Dan McFarland summed it up perfectly. Like, the message he delivered after the game was, who else do you know when they get the ball 40 metres out can brush off two Leinster defenders, step Jordan Larmour like he's not there, still maintain
full
pace,
hand
off Dave Carney, I think it was, and even get into a position to have any chance of scoring a try.
Mm.
I don't know. And actually, apart from that moment, which was, it was obviously a mistake, you know, and he obviously should have dove on it, dived on it. But apart from that, I thought Jacob was unbelievably good the rest of the game.
I mean, the recovery he had from that, he caught up the next high ball, then a few minutes later, put in that chip together.
Yeah.
And I thought he was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. If he'd scored that, it'd been by a country mile the man of the match, probably. You know, I thought Murray Kinsella made a good point on Twitter. He put up a quote that Nigel Carlin, the Irish under 20s coach, said a few years ago, where Stockdale used to give him heart failure from how he would cross the ball or cross the line and not put the ball down and still be standing upright and try and kind of just slowly put it down. So he's obviously had that kind of habit for a long time, and what better way to kick it out of your system?
Yeah, yeah.
But as you said, like, not many players in the world would have scored that. I think we're gonna have a clip from Dan McFarland in a while he'll talk about that after the game. But yeah, not many players in the world would be able to create something like that. Chin up.
Yeah, exactly. And when you score as many tries as he does,
yeah.
You know, and every time you put the ball down with one hand, then you kind of roll the dice, I suppose.
Yeah.
I dropped the ball over the line. I think I've told you this before.
We've told you this many times, yeah.
I've only done it once, though.
Yeah, against your Aeroni.
Aeroni.
That's what to call him, Aeroni.
And I dived every single time after that.
Yeah, you've got to dive. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Do you want to listen to McFarlane now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat's got a clip from McFarlane after the match, so you might listen to that.
I think I know what you want me to say, and I'm not going to say that because I've been asked downstairs. I was asked a question four times. What about Jacob dropping the ball over the line? My answer to that is there are not many people in the world who can beat that many players to even get in a position where they put the ball down. I'm proud of Jacob. Jacob played a great game, did a lot of really good things in that. He's disappointed, but that's not the reason we lost the game. I'd say the key points in the first half where our collision work, our contact work wasn't good enough, and that's on me. You know, I'm the coach of that area. Leinster stole a few balls off us. We couldn't get our attack into the rhythm that when we did, showed some good glimpses or some really good aspects of our attack. Couldn't get that in the first half. It was much better in the second half.
Okay, that was Dan McFarland there. But look, I suppose we can't not talk about Leinster because, as I said, championship winning side.
Talk about the Lannisters,
the Lannisters, yeah. They really put them to the sword at the end.
Yeah, they chopped Ned Stark's head off. That's right. We became the Starks.
He did kind of become the Starks for a moment. He made all the children watch as he chopped the head off. Sexton was just watching from the crowd, just like
off with his
Joffrey,
head.
Off with his head. Just one tear rolls down your face as you're trying to stay strong, but you're destroying the internet. But look, I thought Adam Byrne was great. Jack Conan, that try he made for Adam Byrne was brilliant. And great to see Luke McGrath back as well. I thought he brought a lot. Strange decision not to play James Lowe. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's a strange one. Dave Carney went really well. Adam Byrne went really well, so you couldn't fault them, to be fair. But James Lowe is a guy who changes games.
Big match player.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know.
It's because Luke McGrath is just back.
Yeah.
So having Gibson Park on the bench would give them that little bit of cushion there that if they didn't.
Gibson Park is
a brilliant player, like absolutely brilliant player. But, you know, they didn't give him a lot of game time either, so they brought him on and brought him back off.
But you're saying, though, they only put him there just in case something, if Luke, is that Luke's first game back?
No, I think he played the week before as well, yeah.
So unless they thought there was a little bit of a risk there.
Yeah, probably, but I think going into the semi-final, if it was me, I thought Adam Byrne was brilliant. I think James Lowe would bring a little bit more than Dave Carney to the table, as well as Dave did, but I just love James Lowe. I know you do as well. I'd love to see him, especially against Toulouse. You need someone that will go out and just make it a bit of a war. And quickly touching on Toulouse, did you see that game yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Oof, it was incredible. 14 men after 22 minutes, they got a red card, and against Racing, like, you're just throwing the ball around all over the place.
Yeah.
But Toulouse just matched them. They just, you know, they didn't play like up the jumper rugby.
Yeah,
just played end-to-end stuff and scored some brilliant tries. So topped off a brilliant weekend. So yeah, it's going to be again. I suppose they played them twice already this season. But
would they have any chance of beating them?
I think so. Yeah. You know, Leinster will be, you know, they'll be wounded a little bit after that game, and didn't play particularly well last week either. So I think they've only got Glasgow at home on the 13th before the semis. So that'll be a big game where they need to go out and put in a solid performance. And
Toulouse, they're coming from a warm climate. No, are they Daenerys and the Dragons and all in that lot? Are they?
They could be.
Yeah.
That's why not? They look kind of cool and sexy.
Yeah.
What's your man's name?
Cheslin Kobe.
Yeah.
He's Daenerys.
Yes. And Entomac is the big lad on the horse. The
long hair. Big man on the horse.
Her husband, what was his name?
Oh.
Khal Drogo.
Khal Drogo.
He's a bit smaller, but
yeah,
he kind of looks like him. Yeah. It's going to be an unbelievable game. I want to go to all of these games, actually, the semis. They're giving me a semi.
They're giving me semis.
But can we find... I'll leave you talk about Ulster to give you a semi at the end of it. Final words for Ulster. Give us a little pep talk.
So, this time last year, Ulster was an unpleasant place to be because we were struggling on the pitch. Off the pitch, there was a lot going on. A lot of distractions. Really, really difficult time for Ulster. Losing coaches, and then I was retiring.
I knew you were going to say that. Devastation.
So the whole team were in turmoil, and they were all grieving the loss. No, but it was unpleasant. Although it was still Ulster, and it was still a lot of guys I knew really well. I still loved the lads, but we were struggling and it was really tough. And every Monday morning, you were just going into work just going, this is crap, and I wanted to get out of there. So it was just so fed up with, all this stuff. And just the fact that they've turned around, I was so proud to be an Ulster supporter at the weekend there because they've come so far. Dan McFarlane's done an unbelievable job. And you can see from the start of the season, just gradually improving, and all the stuff he's implementing has come through more and more and more. Chatted to a few of the guys over the last couple of months, and they were saying, not so much the last couple of seasons, but before that, when Ulster were competing in knockout stages of league and European Cup reasonably regularly, always getting beat by Leinster, to be fair. So nothing's changed in that respect. I think Leinster finished Ulster's season 5 years in a row or 4 years in a row or something.
Really? Yeah.
But a couple of guys have made the point, if Dan McFarland had been in charge back then, we would have won silverware. Ulster would have won silverware.
Yeah.
And I think you can really start to see how that's realistic, how far they've come.
Yeah, I think the positivity he's brought to the group. And you saw, I think after the game, Henderson said in the press conference that the injection of youth into the team has obviously brought them to the next level as well, which I thought was a good point. You know, I was in a situation at Munster when I first came into Munster, and I remember a lot of the experienced players put a huge emphasis on how much they wanted the young players like Fla, Dowling, myself, Tomás, to come into the side and make, or Peter Stringer saying, make that number 13 jersey your jersey. You know, we want you to be on the field. We want you to want it. And it was... It was.
You can get a tattoo of him.
He planted the seed. but I think that blend, when you get that from the experienced players, where they're not watching their back, they want the injection of you to bring it to the next level, to bring that ambition.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Ulster have got going for them now, and it's that the youthful vibrance that they have, where they want to go out and play.
Yeah.
And they're excited to play, and they're not fazed by anything. You know, even though they're making mistakes, like Cooney missed that kick, he was straight back. He didn't faze him at first, second. Stockland made that mistake, and it was just back on the horse, and they go again.
Absolutely.
So,
no, the likes of Eric O'Sullivan, massive find this year. Nick Timoney's thrived this year.
Yeah.
Mike Laurie, a fullback, has been an unbelievable find. Balakoon. Jacob's still a youngster as well, you know. So they've all made big, big impacts, and they've brought the side on. So,
well done, well said.
Well done, Ulster.
You've had your moment.
That's enough. I'll remain silent.
Okay, right. Stay with us for part two, where we'll talk about that gritty Munster win over Edinburgh.
Rory briefly touched on it in the changing room there. A lot of the, as you say, very young squad, average age, way down low 20s. A lot of the lads haven't been in changing rooms like this, but for them to get to this sort of playoff rugby and a lot of their first seasons of professional rugby, not even the first season with Ulster rugby, I think that's massive for a massive boost of confidence for them, what they can work on. That's their baseline now and what they want to step forward to and build towards. We've seen from the start of the season people building on performances, and that's something I think that can be shown to all those young lads who can look to build on their performances, build on their career from this starting point of this season, and that's something I'm sure that they will use internally to drive them on for not only the next 6 weeks, 6-8 weeks, but on going on for the rest of their careers.
We are very fortunate to have Rory Scannell on the line here. How are you, Scans?
All good here.
Good, man. Huge weekend for Munster, but you're straight back into training this morning, I believe.
Yeah, it was a good weekend now, and it's a quick turnaround now. We've Cardiff on Friday night, so it's back in training, quick review of the game, and on to Cardiff now for this week.
Good stuff. I saw you were all down on the beach yesterday, swimming and eating ice cream and having the crack. What was that about?
Yeah, down Lange, doing a bit of recovery. The water was a bit cold, so we weren't in there too long. Mainly eating grub.
Brilliant. Well, well deserved, man. How was the feeling on Saturday after that nail biting finish against Edinburgh?
Yeah, it was a bit nerve wracking at the end, but it was great to get over the line. I suppose it was such a tight game, and you know they're such a quality opposition as well. We knew it was going to be a tight one. There's only a score in the end, but yeah, it was a sense of relief, I suppose, really at the final whistle, and great to be back in the European semi now.
Were you kind of watching the clock going, will I be needed to pull out my big hefty left boot for the last couple of minutes here? And were you conserving a little bit of energy, possibly?
I was trying, but there wasn't much scope for conserving energy. And I actually came off for that last passage of play with a bit of blood. So I was actually watching from the sideline, which was actually probably worse than being on the pitch. We were all outside the dugout waiting for the whistle. So, yeah, it was a big relief when that went.
Scans, after the drama at the weekend and the The big finish and the securing European semi, is it a little bit miserable going back to Pro 14 this weekend?
I can't really say it's miserable, but yeah, it's, you know, there's a great buzz on Saturday, and you know we're all in good spirits yesterday, and then I suppose it's, you kind of have to put that behind you quickly enough, and we have to, I suppose, for 2 weeks now concentrate on the league, and you know we're hunting that first spot for a home semi, and you know we're chasing Glasgow, so it's yeah, it's a tough one to try and balance, and you know when you have a European semi in just over 2 weeks, so it's yeah, it's a bit of a mind shift, I suppose. But you know, lads are looking forward to Friday night as well, playing back at home, and we're in Cork as well, which is great.
Oh yeah, loves Cork.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I hit it all.
We were talking beforehand actually about Baz and I actually were talking about the kind of shift in attitude when it comes to a European match in Munster, where you know a lot of things will change on the week of a big European Cup game. You maybe have your meetings in a different room. You get the suit out. There's just a different kind of a build up. Would that be fair enough?
Yeah, it's a different kind of mindset, I suppose. You know, with the history the club has in the European Cup, and yeah, I suppose it was our first time getting the suits out now in a couple of weeks at the weekend. But yeah, it's a bit more serious around the places, you know, and lads are treading on thin ice what they're saying in meetings and whatnot. So it's a bit more tense around the place, but when you get to the actual game, it's pretty enjoyable. And obviously after the nail-biting finishing to get the win at the weekend, it's a big relief after, and you can kind of relax a bit then on Sunday.
Yeah, and big travelling support obviously on Saturday gave you a bit of a boost.
Yeah, it was massive. I think they were saying there's over 15,000 Munster supporters there, and it probably felt like a lot more. I think it was about 2 hours after the game ended, we were hopping on the bus, and we were barely able to get onto it. There was such a massive crowd outside waiting for us, all cheering, and you know it's great to have that support, especially when you're away from home. So yeah, credit to everyone that travelled, really.
And have you had a chance to look at the Saracens game from Saturday, or are you looking that far ahead to the
No, we haven't watched it yet. Now it was kind of saw bits and pieces of it in the post match meal, but yeah, we haven't looked forward to that yet. We're just after reviewing the Edinburgh game there this morning, and I suppose that for the afternoon, probably looking towards Cardiff, so we're not getting too ahead of ourselves, yeah.
One game at a time, Scans, yeah.
Exactly, Trimby, exactly. That's it.
Trimby loves the clichés.
Sorry, no clichés allowed, Scans. So we're going to have to cut that out, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so look, if it's a 5-day turnaround this week, did you have a bad knock to the head, or...
All good, just a couple of stitches, so it should be all good for the weekend. So yeah, it's a quick turnaround. All the bodies are sore, so hopefully training today won't be too heavy.
Yeah, is it a pitch session this afternoon?
Yeah, on the pitch this afternoon. Yeah, wow. So yeah, it should be a short enough session.
Yeah, I think like the ball was in play for about 9 minutes of the last 10 minutes on Saturday, and as much as I was screaming at the television, It didn't really make a difference to how players looked absolutely fucked and exhausted. So, God, that must be hard to get up and get yourself out on a Monday morning to train again.
Yeah, luckily, for half of that 9-minute period, I was actually sitting in the dugout, so I was getting my breath back. But yeah, a few lads were pretty knackered after it. It can be tough getting out of bed on the Monday morning, getting in and looking forward to a bit of running, but I suppose it has to be done, really, doesn't it? You all know yourselves.
And just on a personal note for you, man, we've talked about you a few times in the show and how well you've adjusted to playing at 12. You know, you're probably naturally at 10, maybe 15 a little bit growing up, but was it first when you came into Munster? Was that the first time you've really played at 12?
Yeah, I think it was under 20. Myself and JJ would have been playing under 20s together, and you know he was playing at 10, so they decided to move me out to 12. And yeah, I suppose since then really I've kind of stuck at it. I've played 10 a few times since, I suppose, but No, I'm enjoying it. And I suppose when you play 10 as well, you kind of, you know what you're looking for from your centres, and it's probably another set of eyes, which is, you know, try and be as big a help as I can for Joey and JJ and Tyler and all the boys. So, yeah, I'm enjoying 12 at the minute, so it's good.
Is it nice to have someone like Chris Farrell? Obviously, both of you have got a serious skill set, but is it nice to have someone... You're going, listen, I don't really fancy that much traffic. Give it to the big, enormous hooter outside me.
Yeah, give it to the big man from 5 miles down. He loves a good hard line for himself, as you'd know. Yeah, so we're always flagging him that he thinks he's a playmaking centre, but really we just use him on all those hard lines and the big carries, and then free up myself and whoever's at 10. So yeah, we like sending him up as much as we can, even though he hates it himself.
He's greedy. That's greedy enough from him, isn't it? He thinks he's got it all. But I mean, if you're that big, you just stick to what you're
exactly,
doing.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to send him on a few decoys every now and again to sit a few defenders for everyone else. So he's not too happy about it.
And Kamir, I have to ask you about Tadhg Byrne. His theatrics on Saturday for the penalty. Did he get much of a slagging for that?
Yeah, I suppose he did. No Trimbe, I have to use the cliches here, but he got a bit of a slag, and he was saying his Twitter account was going a bit mental, right? even his girlfriend was giving him a bit of a stick about it, so he's taking a bit of stick this morning, right? But I suppose it went in our favour as well, and it worked out, thankfully, but we don't like seeing people diving too much in rugby.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I saw Murray Kinsella made a point about Ross Moriarty during the season, who didn't dive in a situation like that and was kind of questioning the ref, like, what do you want me to do, throw myself on the ground, or are you just going to spot it for what it is? So it is tough.
We were actually laughing because Jeremy Lachman actually pushed him as well, who was standing inside him, which probably made it look a bit worse. So Ty's getting all the stick, but I think Jez actually made it look a lot worse than it was.
Very good. Well, look, yeah, all that matters is that you took advantage, and fair play to Earlsey. What's it like playing with a guy like that, able to produce those two moments of magic and score?
Yeah, it's unreal. He's ridiculous pace. So I was only saying at the weekend, when I'm chasing kickoffs inside him, I feel like I'm about 10 metres behind him every time the ball's kicked. But it's great to have a guy like that on the wing that you can rely on in those moments. And he's a top class finisher. And you know, that first try, no one even had reacted, and he was over the line. So yeah. He had a great game at the weekend, and he's playing some great rugby.
He's an absolute golden balls at the minute, Earlsey, isn't he? He's like a fine wine.
He can't stop. Yeah. He's getting better with age, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, Irish Player of the Season, he's just kicked on.
He's just won our... He's about to win our Baz and Andrew Player of the Weekend. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
So he'll be absolutely thrilled with that one as well. But look, Scans, we'll leave you there, man. Thanks a million for joining. We know you're going out on the pitch training this morning, so... cheers, and best of luck on Friday night, and of course best of luck in the semi-final.
Cheers, lads. We'll chat to you soon.
Alright, well, that was Rory Scannell there, and that leads us in talking to about the Munster Edinburgh match, 19-13, as you said, tough game, to be fair.
Edinburgh were brilliant.
Yeah, they're a top side, like,
yeah.
Very physical, serious back row, obviously stole a lot of ball, and you know, very tough game for Munster, and you have to take your hats off to them. You know, I think a lot of people were critical of maybe how Munster attacked during the game, but they've got this very set way of playing now that we all have kind of come accustomed to, and it's defence-based for sure, but like the amount of pressure they absorbed and never looked like they were really going to crumble on Saturday, I thought it was brilliant. I mean, Edinburgh would be disappointed with themselves for not taking the opportunities at the start.
I think so. They were better for long periods.
Mm. They had the ball. They had possession. Whether they were better or not, it's hard to know. Like, I mean, for the 10 minutes of Tadhg Byrne was Simbind.
No, I know. Yeah, fair enough.
You'd think they would have scored. Uh-huh. Not only did they not score, Munster went and scored and applied pressure and then made some unbelievable defensive efforts. Like, there was a point where they, after Elsie's first try, they kicked off, turned over Munster in their 22 and had the ball, and Munster ended up driving them the whole way back to their halfway line. But mm-hmm. I don't think people really noticed, because it wasn't any huge hits. It gradually happened. They just kept pushing them back until halfway
line. There wasn't a moment when you were like, whoa, what a piece of defence. You're like, hold on a minute. They were there a while back.
Yeah. At 10 phases, they just pushed them back.
They must have done something remarkable.
Yeah.
And we've not really noticed it.
Just kind of kept dragging them slowly back. But it's, you know, their defensive effort, they're constantly on their feet, constantly with line speed in your face. And it's just really consistent. They cover the backfield really well, even with that. And then they had another one where Jack O'Donoghue turned them over on their line. It was the third time they'd gone to the corner, as opposed to taking the points, which I thought was pretty arrogant out of Edinburgh to go to the corner three times in a row. Yeah. And Munster just kept getting on their feet, kept taking them down, stopping them, and then Jack O'Donoghue finally got in the ball. And that was without both their second rows. John Klein had gone off, and Ty Burham is sin-binned. So, I mean, Billy Holland does make a massive impact anytime he comes on, but, you know, it wasn't easy. And then they lost Carberry, they lost Jack O'Donoghue, so they were quite up against it, but they kept their composure, I thought, for the whole game.
Yeah, there's a few aerial collisions as well. There's a bit of a battle with Conway and your man. Conway gave away a penalty at one stage for one of those.
Yeah.
And for me, that's not a penalty.
It's kind of just that grey area, you know, where they, if someone wins the ball and they fall awkwardly, the penalty's going to go. As long as it's not a yellow card, I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? It's like we were saying about Stockdale and Byrne, where their timing is so good, whereas when it's not, it's dangerous, you know?
Yeah, but I thought that Conway tracked the ball and his hands were on, like, if not on the ball, very close.
Mm.
And he still gets penalised for that. Like I thought it was very harsh.
Yeah. It is. It's just that career. I don't think that's ever going to change.
Yeah.
As long as they're not yellow cards, I think I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Attack-wise for Munster, I think, as I said, like, they've got this formula where they go no play in their own half. It's just kick everything. Murray butts up box kicks, and they get a good return out of it. Then when they get into their opposition half, it's still the occasional box kick, but they just try and get to two or three phases, and then they'll see where they stand, and then they'll probably kick it. But my worry is going into the Saracens game is whether they can actually score points.
Well, isn't that the way Saracens play as well, though? Saracens don't like they only play when it's on their terms. Whenever they kind of feel like it's, I don't know, it's a pretty sensible approach, but it's been very successful for Saracens.
I think they'll play a little bit more rugby. They'll go a few more phases, maybe. Munster only seem to play three or four phases, and then they'll kick. Whereas Sarries will have enough brute force from Vinopola and Barrett and these big players they have that always get them over the gain line, and then they'll keep going.
Yeah.
And if it exhausts after seven or eight phases, then they'll kick. It's going to be a tough game for Munster. I thought they finished the game very strongly. Their defence was pretty good, and once they did get close to Edinburgh's 22, they looked like they could score at all times, you know. And Earlsey obviously with a brilliant finish in the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see Connor have a little dart as well, and then just good hands in the corner. So once they get into the 22, they'll score. But it's how often. I think they only got in there once in the first half, scored.
Is that right?
And they didn't get in there till the 44th minute, and then a second time. And then I think only three times in the second half. So
yeah.
That'd be the biggest concern going into the Sarries game. But Sarries, they're very impressive. Jesus. Farrell missed the game as his wife was in labour. That means Andy Farrell is now, they had a baby boy, he's now a grandfather at 44 years of age. And he looks younger than both you and I.
You and I put together.
pretty disgraceful. Alex Gould played good at 10 though, and I thought Liam Williams was unbelievable fullback. They bit the balls out of them.
They bet the testicles off them.
They did. Glasgow put up a little bit of a fight but in the end, but no, they were too strong. They're just so big, man. They're enormous. They're just good rugby players. You know, they play some deadly rugby as well. So.
Yeah, I think Saracens always just seem unbelievably well coached and well organised, and they're just a machine, aren't they?
Mm.
So, yeah, I think Munster have their hands full.
Yeah, Jamie George made some brilliant piece of play, but brilliant piece of skill. I think he was involved in pretty much every try they scored that day. So, a lot of work to do, Munster, and I think just maybe increasing their options in attack. A few more is the only way they're gonna turn over Sarri's. But I cannot wait for both those games. So join us in part three where we will do our rugby roundup.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Okay, welcome back to the House of Rugby, rugby roundup. And hello to those watching on Instagram TV.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Will. How are the Ducks?
So Munster and Leinster march on. In Europe, Ulster fans left to focus on the Guinness Pro 14. So too are Connacht after they're beaten by the Sale Sharks in the Challenge Cup on Friday. Very frustrated watching it because they didn't start their full team, and I was very excited about the idea of them beating Sale, going over there, getting into the semi-final. They've been playing so well. They were kind of on the crest of a wave, but I can understand why they didn't start the full side.
What's their run in the rest of the season?
They've Zebre away this weekend and they've Cardiff at home. Two kind of must-win games.
And Munster's the last game of the season for them away.
Yeah. So,
Zebre away, then... If it was Munster away, then next weekend you can imagine, you can understand why they would have rested a few guys.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not a gimme, but it's not that difficult a fixture to go to Zebre away.
Yeah. And it's
to compromise what they had at the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you leave out Butler, Quainga,
Delahunty,
and not even on the and Dillane, not even on the squad in the squad.
Yeah.
Tom Farrell. For me, they're five of their best players in a game like that going over there. What a time to kind of boost what they've been doing already.
Does that
keep the ball rolling?
Yeah. Does the decision to rest those guys cheapen the second tier European tournament, or does it actually enhance and enrich the domestic tournament? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does it almost like a bit of a top 14, like a French mindset? This is our league and this is our bread and butter.
Well, no, because the reason they're doing it is so they get into the European Cup, isn't it? So that's why they're doing it. If you finish it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
It's a means thing.
Yeah, but look, it was... it wasn't a great game. They couldn't do it without those players, basically, in my mind. Even not starting Quill and Blade, I would have started him. I would have started him and Carty because he's been playing so well, and that's the way... Andy Friend has been playing this season, been putting giving his best players or the guys that are playing best the week before, giving them the opportunity. And I thought Marmion took a while to get going. He hasn't played a lot of rugby of late. And
they've been in and out a bit, have they not?
Not really. Blade has played most of the rugby this year because Marmion's been injured. And he played unbelievably well last weekend. Just without Farrell, who's been such a solid guy in the centre for them as well. I thought it was a strange game. Fleff de Klerk was unbelievable for Sale. As we were talking about that left hand scrum, you know, where it's very hard to defend. Yeah, uh-huh. So he just found himself, I'd say, have four or five of those in the game where he was attacking scrum half and he would just pick and go and flake at their out half, draw in all four defenders at some point and whip passes at the back. It just shows a world class. He basically won the game on his own, like world class player on his own. So. It's great to see. I think there could be a lot more of that kind of scrum half play in my eyes.
You know, more good enough scrums.
Just more attack minded, quick ball, having a dart. Cooney did it well the other night.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes the ball can slow down a lot and that's one of the reasons why. but yeah, look, they've got a huge chance to still put a big stake in for the
Yeah, and they picked up a couple of injuries though as well.
They did.
Balaam.
Did he fracture his arm, Pat?
He actually came out afterwards and said there was no breakage in his hand, but he must have had his hand gashed open because there was blood everywhere.
Oh,
so,
shit.
And he couldn't even look at it. They had to cover it with a towel as he came off. It must have got a stud through it or something like that. So,
yeah.
But
nasty.
Yeah, and then Carty did his bicep.
He tore his bicep, or he strained it anyway. Mm. They're struggling for out halves at the moment. Ronaldson's injured, Horowitz is injured. Kyle Godwin has had to go in there last week, so he'll probably play again. And he did really well, actually, so he'll probably play again next weekend. On a personal note, I want to say congratulations to the UL Bows, captained by the incredible Niamh Briggs, who won the Women's Club All-Ireland at the weekend, beating Blackrock 17-5. Well done.
Well done.
Thank you. my old club. God, I give them the kudos. Now, I asked you to vote on the Guinness Maiden Moore Player of the Weekend, and here were your nominees. Jack Conan, Ross Byrne, Munster's Keith Earls, and Ulster lock Kieran Treadwell. Thanks for your votes and comments. The winner is Keith Earls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, love it. Two opportunistic tries and leading from the front. Well done, Nails.
Fair play to you, Earlsy.
Yep. We also put a shout for Twitter questions using the hashtag AskHOR. And as we mentioned at the top, we're flooded with responses. So here are some of the best. Quaylen asked, if the worst come to worst and Dan Levy doesn't make the World Cup and Sean O'Brien or Josh van der Fleer don't make it, how strong is our depth at seven and who travels to Japan? Good question.
Is Scott Penny going to get an opportunity? Not to go to the World Cup, but towards the end of the season get an opportunity for Leinster, and then you never know.
Yeah, I think he's been brilliant. Not sure about the World Cup. I've not been in a squad before. I'd say, you know, he might get a game against, he'll definitely get a couple of games in the next few Pro 14 games.
Yeah.
He'll probably be on the bench for Leinster against Toulouse. Outside of that, I'd say Jordy Murphy.
Jordy Murphy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why look any further? He's been unbelievable for Ulster this season. He's done a job for Ireland a lot in the past, and he's an out-and-out seven. So
what's going on with Sean O'Brien, Ginger Sean O'Brien from Connacht?
Yeah, he hasn't played in a while. He's been out for a few months now.
Yeah.
He was good at the start of the season.
He was unbelievably well at the start of the season, yeah.
Yeah. Look, they do have a lot of opportunities in the August friendlies to play these guys. So, but it is a big concern. I think Josh van der Fleer is hoping to make it back. He's out with a groin injury, but I'd say he'll make it. Dan Levy, that looked like a nasty injury. Bless him, Jesus. He just after coming back. And I was watching it again last night, just watching the game back, and I hadn't seen his injury in the first time, so I was kind of watching to see when it happened, and it could have happened at every single ruck he was involved in. He just throws himself in there. You know, doesn't look after himself at all, so you have to feel for him. Al Lochnan asked, should Ross Byrne start in the semi-final even if Sexton is fit?
He's definitely putting his hand up. I mean, he's a legitimate option, and it's actually a conversation. Whereas in the past, it was never even in question.
So yeah,
of course, I definitely think they'd have a conversation about it.
Yeah, that kick at the end when he's either cramping or something was going on with his ankle or foot, he's limping basically.
Yeah,
so kick from the touchline. I thought that was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, look. Be hard for them not to pick Sexton if he's fit.
I mean, a couple of months ago he was the best player in the world.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think you can kind of give him a bit of an opportunity to kind of get back to where he was. Not that he's a million miles off it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, hopefully that will answer all your questions. Please keep them coming, and we do like the silly questions as well. So keep them coming. So yeah, that's it. Thanks everybody for your comments, questions, for listening on all our favourite apps and for watching us on YouTube. Big thank you to everyone that was involved in making the show this week: Fiona, Shane, Ian, Anthony, and of course Pat. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby.
Party on, Baz.
Together with Joe.
Oh,
here on Joe.
Jump the gun.
Together with Guinness.
Party on, Baz.
Party on, Andrew.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.